Yes, we can do this. This is going to happen.
Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
And I'm Maria. And this is season 2, episode 7 of Sticky Pickles. Carol, what is your sticky pickle?
Well, we have a Marlin and a Debbie, and they are a couple, and they've been living on a main suburban drag for about 10 years, right?
Okay.
So they're really well settled. They know everybody around them. They get on with the neighbors next door.
Life is good.
Life is good. I mean, the only hiccup in the neighborhood, you know, as far as they're concerned, if they were pushed to explain this to someone, is this kind of rumor that the people living in the cul-de-sac behind the road are what we call NIMBYs.
Oh, damn you, NIMBYs!
Yes.
Yes.
That means not in my backyard kind of people. So, you know, if you have a barbecue without alerting one of them, apparently that's a big issue. You know, people who complain when children are playing noisily after 6 p.m. After all, that's dinner time.
Right.
They should be indoors.
Yeah, yeah. I've known NIMBYs to be like anytime there's like a proposal to do any kind of public thing, like, you know, put in a park or allow some sort of housing to be built. NIMBYs always say no because, yeah, it'll affect my property values, something like that.
Yeah. For our couple here, Marlon and Debbie, they rarely interact with them, so all's pretty swell. And there's big news in Marlon Debbie's neighborhood life because their longtime friend and neighbors, direct neighbors next door, are moving out and a new family is moving in.
Dun, dun, dun. That's always nerve-wracking.
I know it is, right? Especially if you get on really well with the neighbors beforehand.
Yeah, you don't know who you're going to get.
These new neighbors move in and they say hi, you know, over the fence. And they say, we must have you over. As soon as we get everything sorted, we must have you over.
Must.
So it all seems pretty good. So they move in and they start making some changes, right?
Mm, as one does, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, because you got to make it your own,
yeah.
Right? So they started improving. And well, from what Marlon and Debbie can see, they're kind of painting the front of the house. Mm. And, you know, they're adding some like shrubbery in the garden, some flowers.
Mm.
And they add a small gazebo in the backyard.
Mm, yeah.
And everything seems utterly charming. No one has any issues.
Yeah.
And all's well. And one night, they're all asleep. You know, Marlon, you know, no, normally a light sleeper, wakes up and hears a weird noise. Now, this is not unusual, right? They live in a suburb, so sometimes there's some crazy motorbike or some drunken sing-song.
Or a critter, like, you know, raccoon or something.
Yes. And the window's always open, so he always hears stuff. But this noise is different, right? This noise sounds almost like a crow and a ferret were duking it out. Like, it's like a really
what does that
unusual
sound like exactly?
And, you know, he's looking out the window and he can't see because it's in their backyard. There's no lights. But the sound's louder as he gets close to the window and he can't see anything. Just no shadows or. But then, you know, in the neighbor's gazebo, he realizes he sees the unmistakable flash of a ghostly and unsightly butt cheek.
Ah, that's the crow and ferret, huh?
That half ass that Marlon can see almost like floating in and out from the gazebo rhythmically makes him realize, oh my God, he immediately ducks beneath the
oh
window.
No. Oh, rhythmically. Oh no. Yep. Okay. Yep.
And he doesn't want to be known as the neighborhood peeping Tom, does he?
Well, I mean, the first time, if you don't know you're peeping, it's, you know, does it count? That's discovery.
But what do you do now? So, okay, so this is the situation that's happened to you, right? So you are right now sitting on the floor underneath your windowsill, right? Your other half is sleeping soundly. And
you wake him up and say, hey!
You can hear the crow and the ferret duking it out, so to speak. So do you wake him up? Do you wake your partner up or do you wait?
In all seriousness, no, I don't. That's not worth waking up a partner for.
Okay. Well, Marlon agrees. But the next morning tells Debbie all about it.
Yeah.
Right? And she's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Show me some evidence. He's like, you wanted me to take pictures?
It just so happens our family security camera was pointed right there. Here you go. And it's called collateral. So if ever you're in an argument with your neighbor, I'm kidding. That's terrible. Don't do that.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. No blackmail. No. We do not advocate blackmail.
And they'll be like, what? I was having fun in my own backyard. There's nothing illegal about that.
Debbie all week was making fun of Marlon and his escapades, or what he says he saw as escapades, but it happened to her the following week.
Sexcapades. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Sexcapade. Following week, Debbie is woken up by the al fresco neighbors.
Oh, no.
Right? Who are delighting themselves under their gazebo thingy.
Is this like a thing for them that they must?
Well, it's happened twice. Mm. It's happened twice. So okay. So here you are, right? There's a number of options available to you, Maria. And we've come to you for advice.
This pickle's very sticky.
So it's incredibly sticky. Do you say anything?
Oof.
Oh, do you say, okay, it's only happened twice. Who cares?
Oh, my God. I don't think I would say something unless it was really causing a problem. Like, oh, man. Neighbor issues, but this is a like awkward one. Like, yeah. Hey, it's okay if you want to have your fun in the backyard, but you got to be so loud. I mean, it's like we all can hear you. It's just like you know, if you've got a really vocal neighbor having fun and they're doing it in their house, you're just like, can you close the window? I don't know. I don't.
Yeah, you could just close the curtain, get some earplugs, and not worry about it. I suppose.
You know, but I feel like over time that if it was happening every week outdoors off. Really loud, it would just really, you would just be like, at that point, it's like, I think they're doing it on purpose because they want people to hear.
Maybe you could schedule them, right? You could find, because they must have a schedule of some sort, right? It might be every like Monday at 7 or, just, or 10
this
days.
Is a great time for your brass band to do practice in your backyard.
Right? So that's something you could do. You could kind of go outside and pretend to be like, you know, working on your new opera or something.
Oh, I know. Yeah, you could work on your opera or like have your own like EDM rave going on in the backyard right next door.
That's going to piss off the other neighbors, though. The NIMBYs are going to go insane.
I know. But just like have those kind of directional speakers that only go at your neighbors. You could set up a backyard light, you know, like a security light. People here, at least, they love to have extraneous outdoor lights to, I don't know, and just have it sort of directed at your neighbor's yard, but have it be the most unflattering light possible. So there's no mystique or intrigue when you've got like a 500 lumen security light blasting at your butt. It's not very romantic. So you could try that. It's very passive aggressive, but that's what being a neighbor is all about.
These are interesting because Marlon and Debbie do nothing, right? And this is going on and on, and it's like a regular thing. They like the outdoorsiness in suburbia. Yeah. So they're fine, but they're not fine. The resentment is building.
It would bother me. It would.
Yeah. But then they get a lovely card in the letterbox inviting both of them to Sunday afternoon drinks. Right?
I would have a hard time even saying hello to them over the fence after all this. Like, you go over to their house and it's like a giant ass sex dungeon and you're like, okay, all right.
But isn't the problem with neighbors that you can't say you're not home or you're busy? I mean, you can, but you've really got to, like, they know.
Sorry, I've got COVID. I can't come over.
You could just have loud sex, I suppose, at the appointed time. Say, I'm sorry, we're very busy. And then just open the windows and, you know, fuck your life out.
So is the question, do they go?
Yeah, what do you do? Do you make an excuse or do you just go? Because they're neighbors. And...
oh man, I think it would depend on how much I'm resenting the situation.
Yeah,
if I'm still in the realm of slightly resenting it, but overall it's pretty funny, I would go.
But aren't you
because of morbid curiosity?
Yeah, don't you want to see what's in the gazebo?
No, that gazebo, I'm not going anywhere near. No, and if I did, I would not sit on any surface.
Oh no,
I would be standing only. don't touch anything.
Right, because they couldn't say no. They had to go. They went over and the hosts are pouring generous drinks, right? And they have like classy nibbles going and they offer to take you a tour of their garden, right? They're like, look at our new patio and look at our new flower bed and look at our new water feature. And oh, check out our gazebo.
Our sex gazebo. Sex Zebo.
Take a seat, they say.
Oh, no. I've got really bad hemorrhoids. I can't. Thank you. No. I stand. I sit all day for my job. I got to stand. It's good. Thanks.
You know what? I think at this point, this is where Debbie should say, oh, look, you can see right into our bedroom window from here. Gosh, I hope it doesn't ever disturb you. How embarrassing for us. We were caught doing the naughty. That's what I hope she says.
Or flip side, hey, isn't this where you guys fuck real loud? Oh my god. Oh my god.
Maria, it's time for your story. Tell me about Tinder Tender.
We've got Sam, who is very single and looking to mingle. And like many of her compatriots her age nowadays, she uses the app Tinder to try finding the perfect match. And Sam's been talking to this nice guy, Jeff, on Tinder for about a month or two. They've been chatting back and forth, and she likes his profile, and he likes her profile, and they're intrigued by each other's photos and life details, and everything sounds like they might be compatible, so they agree to meet up.
Normal dating so far, right?
Normal dating, no red flags, nothing.
Would you give your chances if this happened to you at this stage, right? The chances that you'd actually like the guy in person.
Oh, it's rough.
It's rough. Like, we think it's 50% or less.
Oh, it's definitely less. I mean, I online dated to meet my husband, and I went on a lot of online dates, and like the ratio was very bad.
Really? Even though you thought this is a keeper, I'm pretty sure everything is great. Check, check, check. And then you get there and you're like, ah, no.
Yeah, that whole thing about the chemistry needing to be there is legit. And then there are some people who are not quite forthcoming about who they are as a person. And sometimes it's not intentional, but sometimes it is. And that brings me to back to Sam and Jeff. So Sam,
yeah.
In the course of introducing herself to Jeff online, you know, mentions that she's a very active like rock climber. She loves to do rock climbing wall gyms. And she, you know, she goes for lots of runs outside and marathon runner, that very, very sporty, very active. And Jeff's like, oh yeah, that sounds really cool. Like, yeah, me too. Sounds great. So she's really excited that, like, if they get along, she'll have somebody to do, like, all this rock climbing stuff with her. And, like, that's, like, her dream.
Right. So she's got someone to share her passions with.
That's right. So, you know, and she figures after talking to Jeff for 2 months, like, she's got a pretty good read on this guy. So it's their first face-to-face meeting. They're meeting up at a restaurant. And she's the type of person who shows up early to stuff. So she's at her table, and she knows she's early. And she's like, I want to see this guy when he comes in. Like, I want to see if I can spot him strolling through the door. And instead, she sees someone roll his way through the door.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and she's like, that's Jeff, and he's in a wheelchair.
Okay.
He never mentioned that he's in a wheelchair. None of his photos show him in a wheelchair.
Yeah. That's a pickle, man. I get it. Like, I'm totally right now 100% torn. Already.
Right.
Already.
So he comes in, gets to the table, they talk, and she just decides to kind of not mention it for a little bit. But after, like, once the first cocktail sits in, she's kind of like, Jeff, you didn't mention the wheelchair. And Jeff starts to get really upset. He's like, why would I need to mention that? Like, when we're just chatting back and forth, why is that something I need to tell you? Like, isn't my shining personality enough of a thing for you?
Well, it was till now.
Right. And Sam's like, I mean, I feel like given my interests if we're talking about doing stuff together, you might want to mention that some of these things may not be as easy for you. I don't know. And she's trying to be really delicate about it, but she sees that Jeff's like getting super upset, like tears in his eyes, and they're at a restaurant and he's starting to get really like agitated and loud.
Oh no.
And so like a scene is happening and she's like, this is super, like, she's like, I've completely fucked this up. I've made this person terribly angry and I've also offended him. And like, this is just like awful. And I didn't want to do this to this guy.
And I hate dating.
Yeah, fuck it. I'm going to a nunnery. And as she's trying to sort of diffuse the situation, he's getting angrier at her that, like, basically calling her, like, a shallow bitch for,
whoa!
You know, caring only about this stuff. And, like, you're so typical. And, like, why do you prioritize physical traits over everything else? And essentially, before he storms out of there, he goes, you owe me an apology for treating me this way.
Yeah.
And she's sitting there like, wait, do I? and they separate, obviously, neither of them happy with each other. But she's sitting there going like, do I actually owe Jeff an apology?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Oh, that's hard on so many levels. Because at first, when you first started telling the story, I was thinking, okay, cool, he's in a wheelchair. She doesn't know if he can climb or can't climb. She has no idea. True. I mean, I've seen people in wheelchairs do incredible things. So who cares, right?
Yep.
I wasn't actually worried about that. What I don't like, though, is the whole I'm offended. I'm now going to treat you like shit and make you feel bad. And isn't this a great way to start a first date? Like, obviously, that means he doesn't want anything to do with her. Presumably.
Yeah, like they're done.
They're done, clearly, right?
I don't know if there's any, even with an apology, I don't know if there's any coming back from this.
Like, I don't think there's any harm in saying, look, I'm really apologized if I offended you, because it wasn't her intention, I don't think.
Yeah, I think a lot of people fall all over themselves on topics like this, where it's like, we're talking about like physical ability and like, do expectations match reality, that kind of thing. Like, a lot of us is just, it's awkward.
But what happened?
It's super awkward.
Okay, but what would happen if, same scenario, right? And they're chatting, and then they arrive, she's like, I'm really into basketball. She's like 6'1", and he turns out, so he's really into basketball, but he's 5'2".
Yeah.
Right? Like, does that matter? Does it mean he's not into basketball, or he's not as capable as she is in her eyes, right? So, because...
maybe he's a big basketball fan, and they can talk
exactly
about... yeah, like sports stuff. Yeah, I think that his reaction, where he started getting really defensive, is what makes me go, okay, that's a little concerning. But more importantly, what do you think about the fact that he never mentioned it? Because that feels like a sort of a slippery slope thing. Like, how much are you supposed to disclose to somebody before you really get to know them, right?
I don't know how old he is, right? I think it also comes with age and time and how long he's been in a wheelchair. Like, I'm sure it gets easier. If you've been in a wheelchair your whole life, you're probably pretty used to dealing with it, right?
Probably. Probably.
But
yeah.
But if it's new, you may see it as a huge hindrance and you may not want to bring it up because you're angry. You know, I just think his reaction suggests to me he has issues and run the fuck away.
Yeah.
Not because he's not a good guy or not a good guy or not a good guy, just because he's not in a good place. Because that reaction,
that reaction was just like, oh, that's not her. That's him at that point.
I mean, his reaction should have been, wait till you see me climb, you know, baby cakes, and then we'll talk.
Yeah, seriously. I bet you could outpace her if you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do feel like it is a big red flag when you're doing online dating and you feel like someone has concealed something about themselves.
Yeah.
Now, did he conceal the wheelchair thing? Like, I don't know. It's debatable.
No, I think that's really a, no, but that's a good point. You see, if you've been yakking for 2 months online and you feel like you know each other well enough to meet in person, it seems a bit shit not to kind of, you know, say, oh, and by the way.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised how much people try to lie about themselves using not just photos of themselves much, much, much younger, like 10 years ago younger, or infamously a lot of men tend to lie about their height.
People lying in CVs, though, right? Like, people want to get a foot in the door. If they don't feel it on the dating ladder or on the career ladder, they fake it till they make it. But it's shit. It's shit for the other person.
Yeah, but if you say you're 6'2" and you're only 5'1",
a date, you want to go on a second date with someone because the date went well and you feel good and you feel connected. And this date certainly did not bring that to light. Who, no matter, and it's no one's fault. It just is not right. It's not right.
Especially after 2 months of chatting, probably expectations were like sky high. And then that initial trip just like sent everybody freewheeling. Like,
that's interesting. Not going perfect. That's interesting though. Do you think they should have laid all their cards on the table before meeting? Because then they would have never have met. And who knows would have happened. Like, she might have gone, oh, you're in a wheelchair. Oh, okay, then I'm not sure I'm ready to deal with that sort of hassle with my active life. You know,
here's Yaya Maria's advice to online daters is 2 months is too long to go chit-chatting back and forth. After a certain point, people start projecting onto the other person that they haven't met. Like, you have to meet the person, like, give a month at most. After that, meet. Like, okay. Otherwise, you've got an imaginary version of them in your head, and it'll never match up with reality. That's my yaya advice.
Well, there you go, people. You've heard it from Maria. She is the dating expert in the Sticky Pickle family.
No, I'm not.
You are, relatively. Relatively, you are.
Taking a dating advice for me is like the worst, but I'll dole it out. It's like, feel free to discard.
That's it for this week's Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Subscribe and review.
And you can get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter and at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. And a very special shout out to our listener, not our only listener,
but a very, very important VIP listener.
VIP listener, AJ. Thank you so much for your support, AJ. We love you and keep on being awesome. Anything else with us, you can find on stickypickles.com.
That's it. See you next week.
See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
This Sticky Pickles episode was created, hosted, and produced by Maria from...
You've been getting it perfectly lately. You can do it.
I know. I've been working on this. Sticky Pickle episode was created, hosted, and produced by Maria Varmazis and Carol Terrio, inspired by the internet, embellished by us.
Parfait. Wonderful.
Parfait.